Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference one word at a time. Now, here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Well, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody that the American diet is not the best in the world. And of course, I say that very much tongue-in-cheek, because as many as one in two Americans, that's over 133 million people, suffer from chronic health conditions, many of which are directly related to food choices. So I was looking for a book in, of course, my favorite bookstore the other day, and was staggered by the number of books on diet and nutrition and how food can be your medicine or your enemy. You know, some based on science, some maybe a little bit more subjective. But I found one that I thought had a slightly different take on the approach to eating. And it's called Whole Person Integrative Eating, A Breakthrough Dietary Lifestyle to Treat the Root Causes of Overeating, Overweight, and Obesity. And it's written by a husband and wife team who specialize in this subject. And they discovered that the optimal healing diet is not just about what you eat. It's also about why, how, and with whom you eat. It's about developing a relationship to food and eating that nourishes your physical, emotional, spiritual, and social well-being. So let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. Deborah Keston has done extensive research. We're talking more than two decades of research on this topic. She's an international nutritional researcher, award-winning author, and medical and health writer with a specialty in preventing and reversing obesity and heart disease. She's the author of the award-winning Feeding the Body, Nourishing the Soul, and The Healing Secrets of Food. And her co-author, Larry Sherwitz, received his doctorate in social psychology from the University of Texas. He's trained in psychophysiology at Harvard Medical School and has been published in many prestigious journals, including The Lancet and the Journal of American Medical Association. And the book's divided into three parts and does have some food suggestions in there, but it was really the concept that grabbed my attention on this. So here's my guest to talk about this, Deborah Keston, and the book again, Whole Person Integrative Eating. Well, Deborah, I want to welcome you to the show. This is a whole new way of looking at things for me as far as eating. I understand your husband is a behavioral scientist, Dr. Larry Sherwitz, who co-authored this book with you. And I understand you often collaborate and research together on projects. And so tell us a little bit about how this book came into play. I understand you were studying cross-cultural food and nutrition-related guidelines, beliefs, rituals, while reviewing ancient food wisdom. How did this begin for you?
It was really quite unusual. My husband and co-author, Dr. Larry Sherwitz, was invited to present at the first international conference on lifestyle and health. And I went with him, and I used to write for magazines, and I was planning to write an article on yoga and diet. And Dr. K.L. Chopra, who is the father and mentor of well-known author, Dr. Deepak Chopra, was one of the presenters, and he's a clinical cardiologist, and he said I could interview him. So the first question I asked him was about yoga and diet, and his immediate response was, the Bhagavad Gita, which is Hindu scripture, 3,500-year-old scripture for Hinduism, espouses cooking with love. And he said, your prana, your consciousness, is infused into the food when you eat, and in turn, when you consume the food, you also metabolize the consciousness, the prana with which the food was prepared. I didn't expect an answer like that. And it set me off on what I call my nutrition journey around the world to research what other world religions, in addition to Hinduism, have to tell us about food and love, and also what I call cultural traditions have to tell us about food and love, such as yogic nutrition, African-American soul food, and also I researched Eastern healing systems, such as Tibetan medicine and Ayurvedic medicine from India, and also Chinese medicine, obviously from China, because these were the guidelines we used for thousands of years for wisdom about what and how to eat prior to the evolution of 20th century nutritional science as we know it today.
Right. It sounds like
that's what started me in my journey. Yes.
A fascinating journey. And especially if you love research, which you obviously do, it must have been quite exciting to set off on this journey. How long did you spend researching this? Because I know you've been in the business a long time. But how long did you spend on researching this ancient food wisdom?
Probably about 2 or 3 years. And I created my first book from that, and it's called Feeding the Body, Nourishing the Soul. It won the award for being the best spirituality book when it came out about 20 years ago. And I bring that up because it's really quite unusual for a book about food and love and ancient food wisdom to get that kind of attention. But what I'm ultimately writing about is the world of nutritional anthropology. So there's a context for this, and it's in the discipline of nutritional anthropology. And ultimately what I did was research ancient food wisdom, and I verified it and validated it by and with modern nutritional science.
Right, and then you came up with this whole person integrative eating program.
Yes.
In a nutshell, yeah. So before we start looking at this, you know, you divided the book into three parts, and we can look at that too. But I wanted to look at what you call the seven elements of new normal, of how we eat today, which is pretty atrocious for the most part. But I want to identify, you said that to identify seven root causes, you worked with Spirituality and Health magazine. You set up a study involving 5,000 participants. I read this on your blog. And what evolved from that study was What's Your Overeating Style, which you've included a self-assessment quiz in this book, which I think is really great. So can we look at those seven elements of new normal and how they play into this and contribute to overeating and obesity? And obviously, you know, number three on here is fast foodism. We know fast food is a problem in our culture. But let's begin at number one with emotional eating.
A good starting point, and I want to say something that may cause some people to glaze. All these seven overeating styles that I'm going to tell you about right now, they're all statistically significant. They're not just kind of something we made up, and these have been published in peer-reviewed medical journals. So it's more than just, isn't this cute? This is really how and what we eat now that are contributing to overeating and overweight and obesity. And while all seven are statistically significant and increase the odds of overeating, emotional eating was the strongest predictor out of the six other overeating styles. And what most of us are familiar with that. Some people call it emotional eating, some people call it stress eating, some call it comfort eating. And what it is eating to comfort and often to self-medicate and soothe negative feelings such as depression or anxiety or loneliness or stress. But sometimes we also turn to food to celebrate joyous, wonderful emotions when there's a wedding, for example, or a birthday or promotion. But the key concept is if you often eat to manage your feelings and to self-soothe food, in other words, for reasons other than hunger, it's likely you're an emotional eater. Right. And that's really common in Western culture.
It's very prevalent. In fact, I just came off a project where it was quite stressful for a lot of people. I didn't have too much stress there, but they supplied sugar in abundance. And when things started getting stressful, they'd go, "Oh, go get some sugar, go get some sugar." And I'm like, yeah, that's
really... Well, you know, let me tell you, again, I bring in ancient food wisdom, modern nutritional science. Let me tell you why that works. It works. It does soothe you. And this research around why high sugar, high fat, high carb foods work, like cookies and cake, for example, work to help soothe anxiety and negative emotions is this. In the 1970s, not too long ago, a researcher named Judith Wortman at Massachusetts, I can pronounce that, Institute of Technology, MIT, did research with rats. And what she found is, when she fed them high sugar foods and high carb foods like potatoes, she discovered that it would release a naturally occurring hormone called serotonin, which calms and relaxes you. It takes about 20 minutes for your brain to get the message that you just ate a high carb food, such as sugar and or a croissant or whatever your zoning out food is, your self-medicating food is, and it actually does calm and relax you.
Right.
So
right.
There's something to it.
Right, right.
There's a reason we turn to sugary food or the carrot cake instead of the carrot.
Right. I actually gave up sugar a couple of months ago, and I can't tell you how much better I feel for it. I was shocked because I do have a very sweet tooth. All right, moving on to number two, which is food fretting. You say if you're often filled with thoughts about what you or others should or shouldn't eat, traditional dieting, the right way to eat, etc., you term that food fretting, and that can actually be a contributor to us overeating.
Yes, and food fretting has to do with what I call good food, bad food, legal food, illegal food, sinful food, pure food. We use words like I was good today, I was bad today. The food fretting overeating style is about being overly concerned about, often obsessing about, food and being focused on food and projecting moral judgment about what you or anyone else should eat. And it also includes traditional dieting and counting calories. I call it eating by number.
Right,
counting
right.
calories and figuring fat grams. All normal for most of us today.
Right.
And the bottom line is it's about thinking obsessively about the right and best way to eat. And if you're often filled with such thoughts, then you are practicing the food fretting overeating style.
Interesting. Number three is fast foodism. I think, enough maybe has been said on fast food. We know we shouldn't be eating it to the extent that we're eating it at all. So let's move on to number four, sensory disregard. This is an interesting one. And I think a lot of people probably do have sensory disregard.
It's, again, all these overeating styles I'm telling you about are what I call the new normals in our culture. So nobody is surprised when I tell them about it and they don't go, what are you talking about? Because it's all familiar. Sensory disregard came out of the 76-item questionnaire that we have, and it's in the book, What's Your Overeating Style? It's a self-assessment quiz. And sensory disregard, out of all the seven overeating styles, has the most number of variables, most number of factors, and this is what it means. How often, for example, do you focus on the aroma in food, its colors or flavors? Do you eat with your senses by appreciating the presentation, tasting the textures, or being grateful for the life-giving gift inherent in food? In our research, we found that those who ate the most enjoyed their food the least because they weren't really conscious that they were eating or what they were eating. And sensory disregard is a powerful predictor of overeating and weight gain, because if you're not enjoying your food, indeed savoring it through your senses, you're likely to keep eating until you finally do feel a sense of satisfaction.
Right, right. And number five is task snacking, which I think many do. I've done it myself, when you kind of unconsciously eat while you're driving or working or watching a movie. You just keep shoving stuff in your mouth. But this kind of, this surprised me. Number six, an appetite.
What do you mean? Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
This surprised me. Number six is unappetizing atmosphere. That, you say that can definitely contribute to overeating or not, depending on the atmosphere.
Yes, and what's really fascinating for us when we were doing this research is we found it surprising to learn that both the psychological, the emotional, your internal environment, and the physical external environment in which you're eating can make a big difference in whether you overeat. And that has to do with, it's linked, they're all interconnected. All of these are kind of like a web of interconnected eating behaviors and food choices. And so if your internal atmosphere is negative and stressed and anxious, and your external atmosphere, for example, is stressful because you're eating while driving, or you're filling up at a gasoline station and you go in to get some kind of cookie or soft drink or something, and there are fumes, chemical fumes surrounding you, all these impact the way in which food is digested and if you overeat.
Mm. And this also surprised me, because a lot of people do eat alone. Number seven, solo dining can be a contributor to overeating.
Yes, and again, all these are the new normals. Most of us are working hard and we're stopping someplace by ourselves, or staying at work at our computers and ordering some food in, and we're eating alone by ourselves. And what we've, more often than not, and we have found out that eating by yourself can contribute to overeating, and it shows you the, quote, ingredients and skills you need to create an enjoyable dining experience with others. What that means is to eat with others in a pleasant atmosphere, to eat with others with pleasant conversation, to eat with others when you're enjoying your food and your company.
Right, right. So I think, you tell me if your opinion on this, but I would think it's important for us to kind of identify those seven elements, and if we are participating in them, before we start moving forward.
Moving forward means following the antidotes to the overeating styles are what we call the whole person integrative eating, and I use the phrase dietary lifestyle. And I use, this is not a diet. About 2,500 years ago, the father of medicine, Hippocrates, lived. And during that time, the word diet meant way of life. And over the millennia, it traveled through Europe and into Western culture. And now, particularly in France, it came to mean a prescribed, regimented way of eating. And that's how most of us relate to the word diet. So when I say whole person integrative eating is a dietary lifestyle, I am referring to a way of life, a way of eating, from which we evolved thousands of years.
Mm.
And each element of the whole person integrative eating dietary lifestyle is an antidote to each of the overeating styles. That's what our research in spirituality and health taught us with over 5,200 people, because what we discovered is at the start of the program, we gave people the 76-item questionnaire to fill out online. And then I did a six-week, 18-lesson e-course on whole-person integrative eating. And then we administered the 76-item What's Your Overeating Style self-assessment quiz, which is in the book. And what we found out is the people who started, out of thousands of people who started with the overeating styles, were the ones who were most overweight and also who overate the most. And during the course, as they ate based on the ancient food guidelines that comprise whole person integrative eating, those are the ones who lost weight and lessened their overeating. So that's what whole person integrative eating is. It's a dietary lifestyle to follow for the rest of your life.
Right, right. And it's just, it seems just such a more conscious way of being, because it's not just about what we eat, it's about why and how and who we eat with.
Yes.
So we're kind
yes.
of covering all that physical, emotional, spiritual, and social well-being aspect.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you the specifics of the whole person integrative eating dietary lifestyle, each of which is an antidote to the overeating styles. And you can probably answer what whole person integrative eating is if I ask you a question. May I do that?
Yes. I hope I can answer.
Think about, this is not a diet diary question. Would you please think about and share for a moment one of your most memorable, pleasurable dining experiences? What were you eating? Where were you? With whom were you eating?
Oh, it's usually with friends and family, because I grew up in a household, as do many, where food is, quote, love, and you know, the pleasure of it is sharing. So for me, I would say my most memorable dining experiences are group, you know, environments, family, friends, when you're celebrating.
That, when I ask this question, people always describe being with people they enjoy, some fresh food or meal that they like, and it's always some kind of pleasant memory and atmosphere.
Mm.
And the opposite of that is the overeating styles. Nobody, when I ask them to share a wonderful, positive, memorable meal, I've never heard anybody tell me they were driving home alone at night and they got real hungry and they stopped at a fast food place and got a 500-calorie muffin and brought it back to the car and ate it while they were driving on their way home. Never hear anything like that. So let me give you the elements of whole person integrative eating that are the antidotes to the overeating cells, which is what and how we ate for thousands of years.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some magic diet. It's a dietary lifestyle that humankind followed for millennia. The antidote, I'll make it quick and short, the antidote to the emotional eating overeating style, which is to refresh your memory, turning to food to manage negative feelings such as anxiety and depression. The whole person integrative eating antidote to that is positive feelings. And that means being aware of your feelings and your thoughts before you eat, during, and after eating. Just pausing to connect with that. And just for that moment, if you're eating for stressful reasons or anxiety or depression, I'm suggesting, it's not that simple, but I'm suggesting simply putting your negative emotions on hold for a moment and release them and enjoy your food, even if it's zoning out food and a donut and a soft drink or whatever people eat. The antidote to the food fretting overeating style, which is dieting and judging food as good or bad, or being overly concerned about the best way to eat, the antidote to that is appreciating food. Remember, we used to bless food
yes.
for thousands of years.
Yes, yes.
And it's not tradition anymore. So we now know that appreciating food and its origins from the heart releases positive chemicals, naturally occurring chemicals in your body, and that antidote to the food fretting overeating style, to appreciate food and its origins from the heart. The overeating style of fast foodism, many of us are familiar with this, is really quite simple. To eat fresh and whole food in its natural state as often as possible. And another element I add to the fast foodism antidote, which is to get fresh, is to eat fresh and whole, and inversely, to eat mostly plant-based foods with small amounts, lesser amounts, or no amount of animal-based food.
Right, so in
that's how we ate for years, for millennia. Yes, question.
Yeah, so in the book, you talk about inverse eating, an inverse eating visit to Greece and China. What were the key takeaways from those countries? I think I've heard quite a bit about the Mediterranean and Greek style of eating, but what specifically about China?
Well, if you have you ever eaten in an authentic Chinese restaurant in Chinatown in some city?
I have, in London, yes. Really authentic,
well,
yeah.
Well, we live in San Francisco, and there's a very large Chinatown there. And when you go to a dim sum restaurant, let us say, on Saturday morning for breakfast, which we've done, there are round tables. There are three generations of family members sitting and eating together.
Mm-hmm.
And what's on the Lazy Susan, the round table, are lots and lots and lots of veggies and lots and lots and lots of bok choy, which is a wonderful green, and small pieces of very often pork. So you're eating, I've seen chunks of pineapple in Chinese food. It's very traditional. So you're eating fresh fruit and certainly lots of veggies and some whole, they have rice as a staple, and then you have very small portions of meat. And that's what inverse eating is, and that's what most cultures eat or did eat for thousands of years. The Mediterranean diet very often, let us take Greece for example, many people interpret the Mediterranean diet as buckets of olive oil and some wine. But in reality, in Greece, for an example, Greece, most of the food consists of fresh fruits and veggies.
Oh, it's
and
beautiful.
Whole grains.
Yeah.
Yes.
You go to market.
Yes.
You go to market every day to buy fresh produce.
Yes, what a different way of living than in most Western cultures. And they might have chicken, poultry about three times a week, meat two or three times a month. And the animal foods that they consume in Greece, the Mediterranean diet, would be feta cheese and yogurt almost every day. And feta cheese is relatively low in fat. And the yogurt is fresh made usually in Greece. So you have this, what I call inverse eating, because the typical American diet consists of French fries as a vegetable and ketchup. We just don't eat fruits and veggies and whole grains and beans and peas and nuts and seeds. So I use the phrase inverse eating as the antidote to fast foodism.
Right, right. And I said earlier the book's divided into three parts, and part three is just full of whole person integrative eating recipes. And I love that you included Native American food roots there. I very rarely see that.
Thank you for bringing that up. I was fascinated by this. A woman named Roxanne Swintzel. She's a very well-known sculptress whose sculptures are in the Smithsonian, and she comes from a Pueblo ancestry in New Mexico in the States. And what fascinates fascinated me is she was very, very sick and overweight. Her son was sick and overweight with diabetes and obesity and high blood pressure and all the food-related 21st century chronic conditions that are very often food-related. And she found out most of the people in her her tribe, her ancestors, were also suffering from the same chronic conditions. And she did something very extreme. She didn't just go back to fresh whole food, which is what she did, and inverse eating, which is what she did. She did an experiment with, I think it was about 15 other Native American tribe members and herself and her family, and they went back to the foods that her ancestors evolved on for thousands of years. And all the chronic conditions stopped. No more high blood pressure, no more diabetes, no more obesity. There's no magic to this. I use the phrase now, mind-body, evolved on fresh whole foods and foraging for fresh whole foods. And when we were lucky enough to make a killing, the animal that we would eat would be super lean, and the animal we would eat would have lots of naturally occurring high levels of omega-3s in the muscles, in the meat.
Right.
And we're eating very differently today, and our bodies, mind bodies, are just not adapted to that, and it's making us very sick.
Well, it certainly makes for very interesting reading. I know you poured your heart and soul into this, and I can tell you're very passionate about it. You mentioned earlier that certain foods can help boost a positive mood, and I wonder if we can just end with a couple of suggestions there for using food to help boost a positive mood.
A wonderful, wonderful suggestion. What happens when you eat lots of refined processed foods, like lots of white flour and cookies and cake and sugar, what happens is it depletes the body of certain B vitamins. There are 8 B vitamins and other vitamins and minerals. And you need those vitamins and minerals to keep your hormones balanced. And your hormones influence your emotions and how you're feeling. So the antidote is fresh whole food, which is abundant in fiber and fruits and vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals, naturally occurring plant-based nutrients that we're still learning more and more about, and antioxidants, which help reduce inflammation. It's the nutrients in fresh whole food, which we evolved on for thousands of years, that help to keep your emotions balanced. It's that simple.
Excellent. Well, it makes me want to rush to the fresh produce store right now. The book is called Whole Person Integrative Eating, A Breakthrough Dietary Lifestyle to Treat the Root Causes of Overeating, Overweight, and Obesity. And you can find out much more about Deborah and Larry's work at integrativeeating.com, integrativeeating.com. A final thought you'd like our listeners, if they heard nothing else today, what's a final thought you'd like to leave them with?
I would like to invite everybody to appreciate and enjoy and savor their food, regardless of what you're eating. Enjoy it.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Deborah Keston. Very much appreciate your time today and your expertise.
Same with you, and appreciated talking with you. Thank you so much.
And if you have questions, comments, feedback on today's show, you can reach me at conversationslive.net. If you enjoyed our conversation, please share the link. Information and links to my guest are also with the podcast. And we post a new podcast on the site every Wednesday at conversationslive.net. Thank you for joining us. Until next week, live well, live strong.
Radio is very competitive. Shows soar in popularity and then flame out. Sometimes, however, a real connection is made with an audience, and success blooms year after year. For over a decade, Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair has built a loyal following thanks to inspiring and stimulating conversation. Longevity, loyalty, exclusivity. Smart advertisers seek it out. With Vicki's valuable audience, the search is over. Discover the affordable, effective ways to advertise your business. Log on to conversationslive.net. That's conversationslive.net today.